listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this time?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 99 of Geek Watch 1.
You sure?
Yes. I know this because we've already recorded parts of issue 100, which is next week.
Okay.
Yes!
So we've almost made it to that magic number that no one ever goes to. Unless you're a corporate podcast.
Except, you know, the other shows that have gotten that.
Yeah, exactly. This has never been reached except for the people that
this
did.
This is it. We're the only ones.
We're the only ones that with the name Geek Watch 1 that
who have managed to get to,
managed to get to 100.
So. Oh, yeah. And as seems to be usual around here, we actually have some guests with us this week. We're joined by our anime and gaming buddy,
Bart.
Cameron's gonna smack me now. We
it's
have
been
Cameron
a long
with
day.
Us.
And he's looking at his skin tone.
Can I get lighter?
She gets called Lucy all the time.
I know. I can't get anybody's name straight. I called Vicky Jess. Or,
you called me mom this morning. I'm like, did
Ken
you?
Ken was looking right at Cam at the time,
yes.
too.
Hey,
he was looking at me and calling me mom.
Well, we will also be joined by Jesse here in a little bit because
she's over there.
We're going to be talking Ghost in the Shell, everything from the anime to especially the new movie that just came out, which actually I thought was a whole lot better than it looked. So, but before we get into that, what have you guys been doing interesting this week?
We did something geeky Saturday. Kylan's dad and his wife are in town, and we didn't know what to do with them because, you know, family visiting.
Yeah.
So we decided to drive up to Cleveland, and we showed them the birthplace of Superman.
Yes.
Awesome.
We went to Siegel's and Schuster's houses.
One of them is actually a museum now, isn't it?
Yes.
Or there's a museum in it.
I believe so. They weren't open or anything. Like, they don't have any hours posted or anything. Nothing's open.
Yeah.
And they're both on the east side of Cleveland, which is basically the ghetto and you don't want to be there, but we drove through.
Hey, see, no. I just thought about this. See, now there's an old, obviously at the time it was an old Jewish neighborhood because they have there's an old synagogue there.
Yeah, they used to be Jewish neighborhood.
So it's now the hood. If you were.
Yeah.
Now the hood.
With 75 years difference.
We get it.
We got it the first time.
We got it. You're done. But the houses themselves, the one of them is still lived in, and but it's decorated on the outside. It's got all sorts of like trashy decorations on the porch, and all these like flowers and stuff. But then it has on the front fence, it has the big S symbol, and it also has a placard that explains the significance of the house.
But it's the original S that was more like a triangle as
the one that and that looked kind of like an upside down S almost. Bigger part at the top.
Well, the thing is. Some people don't realize that they didn't just create Superman. By doing that, they created a whole entire genre of multiple things.
Yeah, it was the first.
Because Superman, if you look, he is really the first superhero.
No. You know who's
what?
First? No, because if you check history, if you check your comic history, Doc Savage is considered the first superhero.
Yeah, but I don't consider him a superhero.
Yeah, but he's considered a superhero.
First comic book character, yes.
He's considered a superhero. I was reading something recently.
Because Doc Savage doesn't have superpowers.
Yes, he does.
Neither does Batman or Iron Man.
Oh! No, I have no idea because Batman's not a superhero.
I mean...
Because he's not superpowered. He's not a metahuman.
I mean...
Well, no, technically, no, they're not. They're not... Yeah. They don't have superpowers. They're heroes, but not superpowered heroes.
They need their own special
genre. So many definitions.
They need their own special genre then.
Yeah, Superman was the first super-powered superhero.
I'll give you that. Yes.
It basically with that started because Doc Savage may have got the ball rolling, got stuff going, but Superman really made the biggest splash.
Because Superman got the Fortress of Solitude from Doc Savage. And some people say because his name is Clark Savage, and you know Superman's name is Clark Kent. They were like, well, you know, maybe there was some inspiration there. I don't know, but yeah.
So, no, that was cool. What, you guys got anything else? What else did you show him? Did you take him to the airport to see the giant statue?
No.
I've never seen it either. But
that meant having to pay for parking.
Oh, yeah.
We're not about to go pay for parking for that. We drove him by, like, the Cleveland landmarks and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah, like the Rock Hall and stuff. That's
you know what's a really cool one that most people don't realize? Over at Edgewater Park, the Cleveland sign, actually look over that and you actually see downtown.
We took the rest of Kylan's family there last summer when they visited and they got all the pictures with the Cleveland sign. Yeah. There's actually a few of those around town. It's cool. Not just at Edgewater.
And it's cool that you can tell they actually planned it this way so that the sign, it's a great picture opportunity with the Cleveland skyline right behind it.
Yeah.
So, but I don't, what did we do this week? You did some filming last night or got to stand out in the cold.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I'm not ready for bed.
Yeah, she got home at 6 a.m. this morning.
Oh, my God.
Had 4 hours, and we had the Con of the Cop meeting today. So, but...
That is the other geeky thing we've been doing.
Yeah.
Not so sleeping.
I didn't do much of anything this week, I don't think, other than just recording and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Have you guys done any geeky stuff, Jesse and Cam?
Yeah.
I played What'd you Persona do? All week, and then me and Jesse saw... Your name yesterday.
We saw your name, and then I decided to make it a marathon movie thing. So I did your name and then waited about, I don't know, 45 minutes and saw...
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell.
Cool.
I was like, I haven't seen it yet. And I'm like, I'm here anyway.
You know we should go back and watch it in sub.
I know.
I have money. I don't care anymore. I have enough money to go, I don't care anymore.
I know. See, I like subtitles better for anime just because I like the inflection of the Japanese speakers better than the American stylized version of trying to make it a little more relatable to Americans. But, you know, I've studied the Japanese culture. I took 2 years of the language. So seeing anime in Japanese is fun for me.
See, with me, the problem with seeing it in Japanese with the subtitles is my ADD kicks in, and if I miss something in the... I'm lost.
Well, I can understand at least 50% of what they're saying without having to read it.
Yeah.
So nice. I kind of just skim the words and just listen and watch. And,
cool.
Yeah. And then, I wasn't here at the Meeplecast, but I did go to GaryCon.
Oh, yeah.
I was just completely wiped out afterwards. Oh, yeah. So I didn't make it to the Meeplecast.
So how was that?
Oh, it was so much fun. I'm happy I went. It's probably going to be a con that I go to every year.
Cool. Well, you said it last year when you went, because last year was the first time you had gone to GaryCon, right?
No. Last year was the first time, though, that I stayed at the resort that has the water park, like Kalahari.
Okay.
And that just made it that much better.
We've actually never been to one of those. We got to go there at some point, to one of those.
I mean, it almost sounds like my ColossalCon room is going to have room for people. If you want to come to ColossalCon, there's going to be room.
We may be talking about this later. I don't know.
It sounds like there's people who we normally would have been a big, giant group, but... You know, one of the couples had a kid, and they're only going to come in for a couple of the days, and some of the other people have started off...
40 is long.
I know, right? Some of the other people have started off their own businesses or have changed jobs, and so they're trying to conserve money.
Yeah.
And they haven't been getting back to me as far as staying in my room, and I have a room that fits 6 to 8 people comfortably.
Wow.
How much for
that's a big room.
Cam's like, wait, hey, we may be talking after this.
Well, no, my room's already been paid for.
Yeah, she has to get the number of people and then divide it.
I'm staying at a villa for BossCon because I'm doing security. It's like,
see,
hey.
Yeah, because we met Jason Jones.
Yeah, he's a person.
He's a person.
He does too much stuff.
He does too much stuff, but he's doing security for ColossalCon. And so I'm like, maybe I should volunteer there so I can get a room.
He got a new job on top of that, babysitting the guests. And I was like, Jason, maybe babysit some of the guests with you. He's like...
See, that would be a cool job, especially one like ColossalCon that brings in some names. And being one of the guys that's actually doing guest services type deal.
I wouldn't mind babysitting guests and maybe getting a little interview time.
It was
think of a show like one of the Wizard Worlds. It'd be one of the ones that's handling guests. So, but...
Yeah, also, anyway, at GaryCon, I played in quite a few games, and one of the games I liked enough that I just bought right there. It's called Villagers and Villains. It's really fun. It's like a card building, but you have your own village, and you're not really against other people, but you're still trying to get the most victory points.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'll have to bring it so we can all play it.
Yeah. Actually, once we figure it out, we may be having a monthly game day kind of thing going. I don't know. Cool. We're still working on that.
I mean, we have to play Settlers of Catan at some point.
I've been for 2 years. Andy gave us a copy of Settlers of Catan. We still not sat down to play it.
I keep telling you, you can just come over. We can play.
I've played it once. Hmm.
So we can play the game first. Will I graduate college first?
I know.
Let's see what happens. Let's
start the betting pool.
Yeah. So, anything else from GaryCon? Is that pretty much it?
That's all that I can think of at the moment.
It would have been cool.
She didn't bring notes.
I didn't bring notes.
She wasn't reporting. She was just...
Exactly. Yeah. She went to have fun.
Maybe next
year. So, well, that brings us, I think, the remember, Oddmalls are coming up rapidly. We got less than a month till the next one. Mm-hmm. On May 6th and 7th at the Jonas Knight Center, downtown Akron. Remember, it's still free to get in. We have a full 2-day full entertainment schedule. He's already sold out the Knight Center once, added booths, and he's almost sold out again.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you have panels again, don't you?
We got panels. Panels are pretty much all the way full. So I'll have that finalized this week.
Okay.
So we've got costume contest 2 days.
Yes. And Jesse and Vicky have been working on that. They took over for Oddmalls and Con of the Cobs for doing the costume contest, so that's going to be awesome.
There's an official person who's... People who are finally taking it over.
Yes.
There's official roles now.
Who's going to do it? I don't know. Point to that person.
You guys have actually been working on it, too. It's not just like last minute, let's throw something together.
Right. We've been meeting about it.
The other people that were doing it have been also working on it, but it's just ends up going to almost the last minute to finally get the details together.
Well, because it wasn't necessarily something that everyone wanted to do, but the people who were kind of forced in charge of it wanted to do. So now it's officially Vicky.
Exactly. So,
we're here actually in Canton today.
Yes.
Because we just had the Oddmall staff meeting, the Oddmall Con on the Cobb staff meeting, and Andy decided to do it at the park where the Riverside Ramble is going to be on May 20th.
And this thing is going to be huge.
Yes. This is quite an impressive park. Let me tell you.
This is big enough. We actually have two stages running at the same time, and they will not be interfering with each other.
That's right. We took a walk. Most of us took a walk around the main part of where all the vendors and everything is going to be, down one side of the river and across the bridge and up the other side of the river. And interestingly, the river itself is shallow enough that you can ford across it if you so wish.
If you don't want to go to either end where the bridges are, you can actually just walk across the river.
There may have been a couple people who did that
today. And it's not against the rules.
Andy talked to the park people and said,
they don't try to encourage it, but it's not against the rules to play in the river.
Yeah. Awesome.
So we have some interesting ideas for that.
Yeah, there may be some interesting river-based things happening that will be announced soon. And we're currently sitting in the section near where the food trucks are going to get set up. So it's a good little spot with a lot of picnic tables. And it's a great space. If we get weather like this, just a little bit warmer when it comes up, I mean, it's going to be great.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
So, and then I think that's all the news and stuff we have. Remember, we do have the Meeplecast at last Monday this month. We have no idea what we're doing yet for it, but it is coming up.
Don't.
Come join us. We loved it for our 2-year anniversary show. Was it 2 or 3 year?
It was our two year.
That's what I thought.
We haven't been that long.
For 2-year anniversary show, we had almost 20 people there.
Yeah,
and that was fantastic.
That was a lot of people.
So we want to see everybody come
out.
Hey,
if you have ideas of what you want us to talk about, you can go ahead and tell us.
If you guys are going to be there, tell us ahead of time what you want to talk about. We can talk about just about anything.
Email us, tweet us, put it on Facebook, whatever. Or Cam, you can tell us right now.
We will spoil anybody.
What is After Dark? What is After Dark?
We talk about After Dark type thing.
Well, we can't do that at the Meeplecast.
I mean, we can. You just gotta close the door.
No. The Meeplecast.
But there's one member of the team who believes that we actually get listeners that way by not talking that way.
But it's like we could do an After Dark show, and I could be on the show. I just won't.
do anything.
I'd be into this.
All innuendo show.
Well, you know, we never did talk about Sausage Party, and it's on Netflix now. Nice. So
we still need to sit down and watch that.
Excuse on the movie.
So, but Miss Dawn, you actually had some news stuff to happen.
Because I always do. Okay, not a lot of big news. One of the things that, of course, we all think is greatly important to know about is James Gunn has said that on April 28th, we're getting the soundtrack to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes!
So we're getting it basically a week before the movie actually comes out.
Which is actually about where the soundtracks usually come out.
And that's what happened last time, too. But we're supposed to be getting the track list shortly, soon.
Okay.
He didn't say exactly
when.
Well,
I can get you a couple songs that are going to be on it. If you've seen the trailers, those songs are probably
on
the trailer.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
The last time, a couple songs that were in trailers were not on the soundtrack, not in the movie. So you can't guarantee that. But it's likely, but you can't guarantee it. So that was good news because we were all looking forward to that soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
We may have been looking forward to that more than the movie itself the first time because we didn't know what the movie was going to be like.
That's true.
Another bit of news is that the Peabody Award nominations came out, which, for those who don't know, because it's actually well known, but in case you don't know, they're based out of University of Georgia and recognize quality and excellence in a range of media. Primarily entertainment, news, and documentaries, as well as radio. But our one of our favorites, Luke Cage, the Netflix show, has been nominated in the entertainment category. So has Stranger Things,
like,
actually.
I feel like such a bad nerd. I haven't watched it yet.
It's one of the better ones on Netflix.
I know.
And this would be really cool if it won, because it would be the second year in a row that Marvel gets a win, because Jessica Jones won the Peabody.
Cool.
When it came out, because that's my favorite Netflix
show. I should probably
show
watch
Jessica
that
Jones.
Too.
I've at least seen that.
Well, you have until August.
Okay, I will do it.
That's right. Defenders is in August, so you have till then.
When does Stranger Things season 2 come out?
Oh god,
Halloween,
October.
Oh, all right, I got like.
They're in the middle of
6 months to watch it.
Yeah, they've got
two episodes left to film.
Two episodes left to film.
I watched the first episode in one of my classes, and the teacher was like, "Yeah, I'm not teaching, just watch this." They just got up and left. I was like, "Hey, I can."
Me too. Yeah. So Peabody's get announced May 20th, so we'll find out then. One of the other little bits from Marvel is they announced the synopsis for the Inhumans show, which is really short, but after the royal family of Inhumans is splintered by a military coup, they barely escape to Hawaii, where their surprising interactions with the lush world and humanity around them may prove to not only save them, but Earth itself.
Ooh. Hawaii with everyone in bathing suits.
Which, I mean, we all know they're filming in Hawaii anyway, so it kind of makes sense that, hey, let's use that background.
Yeah.
And I've been reading the Marvel Knights Inhuman series. It almost sounds like this might be that. Because you've got, there's a military thing going on in that series, and there's a point at which Medusa has her hair cut off, and... Ooh. It's been shown behind the scenes in the filming that the actress who plays Medusa has short hair at one point.
Oh.
So it's a possibility that that's the storyline they're going with, but we'll have to see. And then one other thing was a different brand of superhero movie coming out. Not the big two for a change. This one's from IDW. It's called Invincible.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Right, it's a series
that's
been
around for
a while. It's 14 years. It's IDW's longest running series.
If I remember right, that was the one that actually put them on the map too.
Right, mm-hmm. And it's written by Robert Kirkman, who we all know from Walking Dead and Outcast. And the film is apparently being written, directed, and produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Okay.
And this is a great thing because, of course, we all know that they currently do Preacher. So they know how to do the comic movies.
Yeah.
They may not know how to do the actual comedic movies because we know what their history is with those. But
hey, their movies still make money. I mean,
they do make money.
Some people really love those movies. Some of those movies I've enjoyed.
Some people like the stupid comedies. They tend to do a lot of the. Stoner comedies, which is why I don't watch them and can't get into them all. But also apparently the Invincible is finishing up this year.
Okay.
They're actually ending that series, so after 14 years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that movie, and it's it follows the life of the son of a superhero as he becomes a superhero himself.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's the main news I have that people may have missed from this week.
Cool. Well, I guess that means we can actually get into Ghost in the Shell a little bit. Now, Vicky and I watched the anime on Wednesday night. Because basically, if you watch the original movie, is the only thing that really fits into this, the new movie that's being made. Now, the story's a little bit different, but there's full scenes from the anime that are have been reproduced on the big screen for the movie.
I love shot seeing
for
that.
Shot.
Yeah. So, well, let's get just general impressions of what you guys thought of this movie.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I like that not every little piece of information is explained, which is very typical of an anime or a Japanese stylized film. So I like that aspect of it.
Okay. What'd you think, Cameron?
Solid 7.5.
Okay.
That would be out of 10, not our usual 5.
Right.
I haven't seen the animated movie in like 15 years. So it's like, yep. There's a plot. Like, I know the plot from the anime, and I can follow that.
But yeah.
The movie, I'm like, I should go watch the movie. And that never happened because, you know, college. But I genuinely enjoyed it. Not as much as the other two movies I saw this month. But.
Yeah. So, Vicky, what'd you think as we're going around the table here?
Is visual or visual? I can't even talk.
Visually?
It was stunning. I am so tired right now. I am so numb.
So visually stunning.
It was. I really liked it. I know a lot of them when they take like an anime or a cartoon or whatever, and then they turn into live action, they kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
They tend to ruin it. And I mean, I get why they changed some stuff, but what little they did change, I think it actually added to the story.
Okay.
Instead of taking away like they normally do.
Yeah.
What'd you have, Cam?
The anime community has come to an agreement. This is the closest step to a good anime movie in the history of forever.
Yeah, a good live action based off of an anime movie.
Well, actually, that's
been brought
go
over
with
here.
It.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot of Japanese ones that are like amazing that we've never heard.
Yeah. Well, that's what I, where I was going to go. Because if you watch the original movie, it's kind of slow for an action anime. I mean, it's a great story, but there's a lot of stuff that you have to figure out on your own as you're watching it. It's not explained. And there's a lot of scenes that for 90s, there's a typical 90s action anime to where you'll have like a 2-minute scene of nobody talking. It's just showing like the scenery and stuff like that. This is a lot more action driven, a lot more story driven, and a lot more of the story was actually explained to you as you go. But it didn't feel like they're force feeding you story. It rolled nicely
there
into
some
it.
Places it did.
Well,
that's because I knew what was going on. It's like,
yeah.
This is a little handled.
Yeah. Well, they had to do that for the normies.
Yeah. So, Kylan, what'd you think?
It was all right for me. But, mind you, it's not necessarily my kind of story. But I would say it was probably the best live-action anime story that I've seen. But, mind you, I'd seen Fist of the North Star.
Oh,
yeah.
They did
a live action Fist of the North Star.
I think I only watched 5 minutes of that.
It sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Now, mind you, but that was like back in the early 90s. And
are you saying this actually was better than Dragon Ball Z?
I never even saw Dragon Ball Z, thank God.
Dragon Ball should have waited 20 years before
Speed
they made it.
No, they just shouldn't.
So this is way better than Speed Racer.
Yeah.
You know, but having said that, and you know, I'm not necessarily an anime person. This was an enjoyable movie. You know, like, and for it to be something that's outside what I'm normally into, it was. I enjoyed it. It was fun. You know, but so there
You're
was that.
You're allowed to not like it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
No, I won't say I didn't like it. It's just that it's one of those things. Like, to me, if I approach it from an action movie standpoint. There's that, and I enjoyed it in that sense of it. There's only like parts of it, and I don't know if it's the something that I've noticed in some certain anime anyway, where it almost feels like that there's this attempt at making it philosophical, and it's like,
no, yeah, you're right,
you know, where
there's a lot of deep psychological stuff in the anime,
right? Yeah, like in the anime, they do a better job of it being philosophical, where in the movie, I could tell that that's what they're attempting to do, but they're only doing it and they're only going maybe an inch deep in the water.
Right.
So
yeah.
to speak. Not that you can do much in a limited amount of time anyway.
Yep.
But yeah, so.
That's typical of those kind of trying to take something from a
pure creative medium, whether it's a book or an anime,
yeah.
into a live action, it's really hard to portray certain ideas that you can just use your imagination to get, but it's hard to put that on screen.
Yeah. Which is the reason why it's almost like the same complaint that I have against Watchmen. I love the graphic novel. Love mm-hmm. it, love it. One of my all-time favorites. The movie is nothing like the graphic.
Yeah.
And there's so
it's
much that
okay,
you miss.
It's an okay movie for a movie.
Right.
Yeah, if
but
you
it's
take it,
not Watchmen.
Right. No. Yeah. You have to just view it as you're not watching Watchmen, just something that's similar.
Taken from.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So.
Based on.
Well,
yeah.
Dawn, what did you think of it? Because I mean, you're not an anime
it
fan
was
at all.
Okay, yeah, I kind of hate anime for the most part. It's just like, yeah.
That's why
I
it's interesting to see what you
won't
think
watch
of
it
this.
At all. So I had not seen the original in any form. It was okay. It was very Blade Runner-esque in the
yes.
look of it.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, seeing the way they made this future Hong Kong look. It was almost depressing because, like, you saw, like, it was simple on the inside, but then you saw all the cityscapes and everything, and it was so busy and messy, and it makes you dread the future when all
yeah.
of this crap is going on outside.
Well, I think that was the point, though.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
like,
which actually
and you
typical
take, like,
for cyberpunk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just, like, Japan in general and Hong Kong
uh-huh.
and that kind of thing, the way they love all their neon signs and everything, it is kind of the next step.
Yeah.
But I kind of look at that and go, oh, I don't think I want to visit. But story-wise, I didn't think there was. I thought the plot was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Like there weren't really any twists. It was just kind of pretty straightforward. And I like the action. I like the way they did, especially when you know, like she went invisible and stuff.
Oh
and
yeah.
They did the fights like that.
The
I
camo.
Like that kind of that part of it. Wasn't too enamored on most of the characters, but
yeah.
I liked her partner. He was like my favorite character.
Well,
I liked him.
Guy.
I liked
yeah.
dude with the eyes. I liked
well,
him.
The funny thing is, you said you've seen the movie way back in the day.
Way back in the day.
We
yeah.
had watched it the day before, so the characters of Major, her partner,
Batu.
I don't remember all their names. Yeah, Batu.
It's
or Batai.
Yeah.
It's whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
But
whatever.
The cop that actually had no cybernetic enhancements at all, their other partner,
yeah.
and the old guy,
and the director, yeah.
all their live action counterparts looked exactly like what you saw in the anime.
Yeah.
Somehow they got the actors that looked like they'd taken them off of the anime screen and put them through a machine and made them live action.
Yep, cool.
Including even knowing that was Scarlett Johansson, she looked like Major.
Yes,
she did. They did. They
it
did
was
a good
phenomenal.
Job. I know you have an issue with the hair, but...
Well...
that's one of my issues.
My issue were the bangs. I don't know. It looks like a wig because of the bangs.
And they looked all choppy. I'm like, can you at least neaten those damn things up? That
hey,
bothered
right?
me through the whole thing.
It was a cybernetic body. They weren't real.
But they got everything else about her so perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the shape and everything. Could you not trim her hair?
Couldn't she just go like this?
Why did it not bother her? Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
That's it's a little thing.
The one it was cool that they fixed during the show because during the original anime, Batu has those cybernetic eyes the whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, I'm like, oh, that kind of sucks. It does. Then halfway through the show, he gets them and they look perfect.
Well, you get the explanation.
Yeah. That was part of the hand holding. Let me
yeah.
explain why this is the way
yeah.
he is thing, which. You know, you have to do for a certain audience.
Yeah.
Those of us who'd seen the anime before and are, like, more into the Japanese culture anime, futuristic stuff, it would have been, like, a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right.
Why he would look that way, but...
Well, this seemed like it was cool. It was, like, an anime movie originally, but this one was written almost for sci-fi fans.
Yes.
That had,
yeah.
If you've never watched anime at all, you could still watch this and get the whole story and understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to know the original story. There's some of the, like, we've talked about some of the really bad anime movies that have been made live action, that they don't do that. They just say, okay, well, hopefully you've seen the original once you know what we're talking about.
Right.
Well, it's kind of how any of the fan stuff works. You
yeah.
know, like, when we go to the superhero movies and that even, you know, we know what some of the storylines are, but you see it on the big screen and they're giving a little backstory
yeah.
that we may not think is necessary, but other people need it because they're not going to all the
That's
movies.
Yeah, like the movement everybody has about we don't need any more origin stories.
Oh
well,
my
some
God.
Of these characters,
some people do.
Some characters you
Spider-Man
do need.
Spider-Man is
well,
the worst.
Okay, we don't need more rebooted origin stories. Is what we really don't need.
Right. True.
I don't think we're going to get an origin in this next movie.
Although,
no.
I am pretty excited about the new Spider-Man. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Or if anything, what they'll do with that one is they'll do like what they did with Batman v Superman, where it's during the opening credits you saw Batman's origin without seeing
doing
the whole story.
That or giving you the occasional flashback to explain
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need a full half the movie as the origin.
And with being someone who hadn't seen the anime or anything, I think it helped in Ghost in the Shell to get a little bit of that for me, because it was jarring at first to be thrown right into it.
Right.
Even though I watch sci-fi and stuff all the time, it's kind of like a world that, like, there was no explanation as to
still
how they got there and what they're doing. Yeah, so giving that little bit of background, I think, helped. And I guess I hate to say that I would be the mainstream audience for this one, but I kind of am, because I'm not. This is not the movie I would have gone to see.
But it's great that we have, like, you're not an anime fan, but you're on here talking about this, so you can see that
point of view. Definitely helps if you have even, you know, a small interest in the movie and think and ignore what a lot of people have said about all the crap that happened beforehand.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the biggest problem was with how poorly it has performed in the U.S.
It's just
overseas,
a couple of haters.
It's done great.
Couple of haters. That's all it was.
Yeah. And, I mean, who was it?
Oh,
the,
yeah, well, I saw,
the producer himself or whatever said that he thought ScarJo was the best choice possible for this because the character did not have to be Asian. That was kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. She wasn't supposed to look anything like her original body.
She was always, and then she was already getting these glitchy memories, and like it would have been worse had she been Asian, and just it would have hit her head on.
Well, I actually looked at Box Office Mojo this morning, and you were talking about how it's doing better overseas. We've only made 30. This is a week and a half. This is the second weekend, and we're recording this on Sunday, so it's not all the way in. But it was 34 million here. It's 50 million around the world in foreign markets.
Yeah.
So it's actually the foreign markets are liking this.
And the thing is, it hasn't made its cost yet.
No, it was 110 million.
Yeah,
I think it's really funny.
I don't think it's open everywhere yet either.
It's the U.S. Are complaining about the whitewashing when
the Japanese are like, let's watch this.
Are like, this is what it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
this is perfect.
Talk about
so,
that so bad.
Yeah, you guys
want to talk about that so bad.
I don't want to get too deep into that because I'm not going to give the haters a voice.
Right, that's true.
So, but that's just, it seems like if you watch around the world on stuff, on movies and stuff in general, that's an American thing.
Yeah.
People, it's like, you don't have to.
Just I think it's important that they said, because the thing is, like, I was watching a news clip, and they were talking to Japanese fans about this, and the Japanese fans, like, ScarJo is perfect. Maybe the people are complaining because they want a better actress, but I think she's perfect. And then they said,
and then you look at the rest of the cast, and they're pretty much all Asian.
And, I think what you
Can't, let, let Cam say it.
Get it out, Cam.
Now, if we exclude Scarlett Johansson,
mm-hmm.
the movie has three white characters.
There's more than that, but there's less than 10.
But
every
still,
other
main
person
characters.
In that movie is Asian except for the
or
one black woman in that one scene. Everyone else is Asian. I don't understand.
And that makes sense
because
the whole thing takes place in Hong Kong. And if I remember it, most of the white people they do have in there
was
are,
it Hong Kong or was it
robots.
Japan?
I think
it
was Hong Kong.
No, it was Hong Kong.
It was Hong Kong? Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually supposed to be, I've looked it up, it's another city is what
was
in the anime, but this takes place basically in Hong Kong.
Future
which
Hong
actually
Kong.
Is interesting.
Well, this was actually a real place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lawless zone they talk about in there.
It was actually
was
real.
An actual real place in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Vicky actually looked it up. It was around until like the mid-90s.
Well, it was built between the 50s and the mid-90s, and then they tore it down. Now it's just a park. But it squeezed 33,000 people into a 6.4 acre lot, 12 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they basically, as they're building, they kept building on top of each other.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so big and so dark that the bottom levels had no light, even during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lawless because the British ruled the country at the time.
The police wouldn't even go in there.
Yeah. It was a loophole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the cool thing, one of the interesting things, it's not cool, but she said all the like schools and salons and stuff during the day, at night had other uses. They became your at night the same places that was your salons and schools and stuff, where your opium dens and your brothels and the gambling was all in those same
and
places.
And the dance clubs. It became basically what we saw when we went to the basement in the movie.
Yeah.
It became the, what was it? The Kuza Club.
Yeah.
Well, because that's interesting. When you look, actually watch the movie, they did show the scenery when they looked up and see the, and you see the pictures. This one photographer got in there before they actually tore it down, and that's what it looked like. It's cool, interesting that what you see as a dystopian future on this show actually was a real place.
In the past.
So, and that was Hong Kong. So this has a place in reality also. But I've said from the beginning here that this show, this movie, I thought was one of the best cyberpunk movie, true cyberpunk movies we've had in a very long time. Until you go back to, even like Fifth Element was another good one that was, it was in the cyberpunk universe, but it wasn't really a cyberpunk
story.
One
of the problems with saying it's one of the best is that we haven't had many.
Yeah, they don't do it
it's
often.
One of the only. So that's the thing.
It's like the thing with the Switch. The Switch is the best-selling console. Yeah, if you only sell five. And you only get five in that shipment. Yeah, it's going to be the best-selling console.
Right. We're always sold out. Well.
It's like someone make more.
Exactly.
I know, I want the Switch so bad.
But the nice thing is, it looks like this is going to be one of the first movies, and looks like it's going to be a series of cyberpunk movies that are slowly starting to trickle out now. Yeah. Now that we can actually do on screen what they've been putting in books for years.
Yeah. Right.
Because we know we have
the technology.
Well, we have Spielberg doing Ready Player One coming next, and that is probably going to have a lot more cyberpunk feel. Because it should be all virtual worlds.
Right.
And looking at stuff like that and other stuff that's on the horizon, it looks like we may be getting to cyberpunk. Like in the late 90s, they tried to do this. Cyberpunk started to get big. You had William Shatner's book series, Tech War, which was weird because it was cyberpunk, but it was like a perfect future almost. It just didn't feel right. But if you go back to one of the first movies I remember that was anything like this, you mentioned Blade Runner. Blade Runner, if they had recorded it during the day, would have felt like The City.
Yeah. And, of course, you have the next Blade Runner coming out soon.
Coming in September.
Like it or not, is going to beat this movie for cyberpunk. I mean, it's
probably.
There's no way it's not going to be a better cyberpunk movie. But the thing is, Ready Player One, it is cyberpunk, but if they do virtual world, it's not going to feel cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're not in the real world with it, then it's not really part of that feel. So it's going to be different anyway.
Well, let's get.
I was gonna say what's happening is the production studios are starting to realize what they can do with these and actually giving them money.
Yeah.
Instead of giving them a little wimpy, a bit like money to make it.
Right.
Which
and then they have to Photoshop.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, some of the cool things in this was, what'd you find? A bug?
Spider.
Spider.
You're outdoors.
Bugs are fine.
What's wrong with spiders?
It's everything. My table now. It's my table.
Okay. But what I thought was cool was some of the actual changes that they did in the story. In the original story, it was kind of hard to follow a little bit, but it was all about the villain in it was an actual
puppet master.
Yeah, he was called the Puppet Master, but he was an AI program who had gained sentience.
Yeah.
And was trying to take over the world and say, hey, I am a real person here. Mm-hmm. And that was the main basis of the story. It was hard to follow until you get towards the end. It, like a lot of 90s...
both like, oh, it's around here somewhere.
Like a lot of 90s anime, it was... you really didn't know what was going on until you got to the end.
Yeah.
You're totally confused until you get to the end, and then all of a sudden the whole thing makes sense.
Right.
Our savior.
This one, it was different because it was actually... Major was the first ever, they call her Ghost in the Shell, because she actually has a human brain and what they consider the human soul inside of a totally cybernetic body.
Right.
But then, as far as she knows, she was the first one ever. We find out she's not.
She's number 99.
And that's the philosophical part, too. It's like, what makes a soul? Is it the brain? Is it the body? Is it how you feel and react to things? Or is it your history and your memories? I mean, what makes a soul a soul? And... where does it travel? Where does it go?
Yeah.
Well, and by the end, you can kind of tell that they're trying to let you know it does make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, between just the straight AI that doesn't feel for things and doesn't want to know its past versus Major, who has these glitches and wants to find out what her past is all about. And does she gets her whole past... Mm-hmm. from the doctor and wants to know what right
liquid form. Well, she doesn't really get her whole past. She gets a key.
Yeah.
To find out where her
mom finds her mom and so she has
but
by
she
the
have
end
all her memories,
there's a connection there that it obviously made a difference that she had this ghost inside her to want to know more and to want to reconnect with being human.
Yeah. And the interesting thing
was the sad part is she was a rebel.
Yeah. She was actually an anti-technology propagandist,
exactly.
Kind of.
Exactly.
They're rebel against technology. Mm-hmm. And she ends up being put into a cybernetic body.
Yeah, the first success.
What was interesting, kind of, was this robotic corporation, Haku, when they built her, or building her, is she's the first ever cybernetic. She has all of her memories. She's a real person inside this body. But they had totally manufactured her, all of her memories and stuff. Yeah. So it was an AI with wetware, basically.
Yeah.
Which is a straight cyberpunk term, but people should understand. It's like, it was a straight AI put into a human brain. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they had flipped themselves on their head.
Right.
They're saying that this is so awesome because she's so great, and yet they had created it anyway. So when she did start, and then they were railing against it, everything they could, when she did start figuring out who she was.
They put a hit out on her.
Exactly.
Well, you know, actually thinking about it, it reminds me of RoboCop. Because, I mean, in a sense, the only reason why they salvaged Alex Murphy's brain was that they needed something to be able to process the orders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't. And they thought, in essence, that he would not be able to remember his previous life. And so for them, he was a machine, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Until he started getting his memories back, and he remembers his life before. So at that point, RoboCop is asking that question through all three movies. But is he a man, or is he just a machine with human memories?
And of course, we're sitting right on the bottom of the hill underneath the major hospital for Canton.
This is the only time we've really heard the sirens.
I know.
And they're not
because they're going right by.
It's not because I broke something. So
that's right.
It's not the men in white coats.
Well, that's a different kind of...
Might be.
That's a different broken.
I think we all have a little bit of that.
There we go. We're clear.
But yeah. I think there is similarities with RoboCop, and especially if you think right from the start in Ghost in the Shell, they were calling her a weapon.
Yeah. Yes.
They their whole department wasn't treating her like that. It was the computer corporation that was treating her like that. Like, she's a weapon. That's what she is. That's why we built her. Mm-hmm. And that was the same as RoboCop.
Well, they thought they owned her.
Yes.
Yeah. Because OCP saw him as a marketing tool, and mainly as a marketing tool, mm-hmm. and
they looked at him as the first in a series of cyborg police, right.
And even the rest of his police department kind of saw him as that, except for his partner, mm-hmm. who saw him as Murphy.
Exactly,
and then by the end of
she was trying to find Murphy in him, mm-hmm.
yeah. And then by the end of the movie, we get Murphy, mm-hmm. and then as the movies go on, you start seeing more of Murphy till ultimately you get the point that it is Murphy just inside of another body.
Yeah.
But then you have the same question as in Ghost in the Shell as to who owns what. Because she is, you know, if she is realizing who she is and she's becoming more of the human that she was, and yet she's only alive because of that body and that programming that they gave her.
Is she an independent sentient being?
Let's put it in perspective, though. They took her wet body away.
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. No. Yeah.
They
absolutely.
Stole her body. So I kind of view that as, well,
they did to all of her friends.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
It's honestly, and that's like
a little different than RoboCop in that respect.
Right. Yeah.
A little bit different in that.
They were truly saving him.
That's true. They were
truly
saving him.
He was going to die. That was it. He was dead.
So luckily, in this world, we don't ever have to ask that question.
Yet.
But that, yeah.
Mind you,
like, we're living in a world where 6 months from now, we're going to have driverless cars.
Can I just point out, we're also living in a world where Disney has just filed a patent for soft body androids.
That is true.
Yeah.
iRobot like all over
again. It is.
Yes. Like, yeah. Well,
Skynet. What it is?
Westworld is on its way.
It is almost scary where actual real cybernetic research is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at, they have prosthetic arms that actually look like a regular hand. I mean, it's obviously it's not. It's not mm-hmm. perfect. But your muscles and your brain controls the hands just like a regular hand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect, mm-hmm. but it's real, real close.
Yeah, but they can 3D print prosthetics that look realer.
Yeah.
You also have to think, though, that the stuff that we know about is just the stuff that they've done more research on.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even know where it
there's more
is.
Behind
well,
that.
Like yeah, you look it's into, just what they let us know, and it could be how many decades old.
Right. You look into, like, military research and stuff. I heard it, I think it was from listening to one of your shows or something, that the military, you can almost assume that anything that the military declassifies tells you, hey, look how awesome this is at least 6 months to a year, or if not more, behind what they actually have.
Yep.
Oh, exactly. No, it's more than that. More. No, normally, it's what we've been researching, a lot of it tends to be like a decade.
By the time we got it, it's so old that the tech for this
they're not
is
using
so
it
old.
Anymore.
It doesn't matter.
They're already on Gen 3.
But I mean,
or
if you look at just the basics over the past few decades of like pacemakers. Pacemakers technically at this point are basically cybernetic hearts.
Yeah.
They are.
Just about. I mean, well, no, they do have cybernetic
hearts.
Yeah,
but but pacemakers was the start.
Yeah.
You know, to help your heart tick at the right rate.
Yeah, it shocks at just the right time to get it.
And they're moving
rhythm.
On to different organs and different things they can do, and they have to involve computers in that now.
Yeah.
And
actually, they converted spinach leaves into being able to do that for the heart.
I saw that, yeah.
Well, all of those, like, dystopian futuristic movies, though, is just kind of makes me wonder, because there's the island where it was an island full of clones that was just so that the people who could afford it could have a clone made of their body so that they would host their organs that they needed to harvest whenever they needed them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, us being sci-fi geeks, we've seen for years cloning and everything.
Yeah.
And the scary thing is, there's actually, I believe, a couple of countries that that are discussing the laws of whether or not to make cloning legal.
Right.
Yeah. They've been doing that for a few years.
This is a serious debate now. Well, this isn't science fiction.
Well, right now it's illegal.
Yes. I think in just almost everywhere it's illegal right now.
It's illegal for humans.
Right.
It's
in the U.S., I think it's illegal everywhere.
In animal form, they've been doing it in some countries for experimental purposes. I mean, look at Dolly the sheep from the U.K. years ago.
So it's like, we're not that far from the, someone. What it is as soon as someone puts up enough money, someone will make it legal.
It just comes down to having a mad scientist who's already doing this in their secret laboratory.
Well, then the question is, again, what makes a person an individual who has a soul, who has their own mind? I mean... Mm-hmm.
Well, Star Trek, the Next Generation was well, even the original, but especially the Next Generation was fighting over this years ago with Data. Because they actually had a couple of full episodes about Data fighting for his rights to be an actual individual, not property of Starfleet.
Right.
Right.
See, and you know what? Because I've seriously thought about this, and somebody may call me a humanist or whatever. But see, here's
you're
the thing.
You're a speciesist.
When it comes to Data, everything about him is cybernetic. I mean, I was seriously stop and think about it. If he had a human brain in him. Okay, I will stop at that point. But at this point, if we're just talking about this within this world, then at that point, human AI becomes an individual.
Like I said, that's where the debates are going right now.
Right.
Well, but then like you can even look at Doctor Who. I had to look it up real quick because I couldn't remember. I'm such a bad nerd. The Sontarans.
Yes.
They're just cloned batches. What makes them individuals or people or?
Well, that was in Star Wars, the prequels with the Clone Army.
Yeah.
Right.
The Clone Army didn't have a choice. They were grown and they fight. That's what they do.
Well, the Sontarans were around.
Yeah, well.
This is why I went to Doctor Who, because they brought up that question before like the mainstream kind of stuff did.
I mean, if I had a clone of myself, I don't know, I guess it...
We couldn't handle it if you had a clone of yourself, okay?
I'm just thinking...
No one can handle that much, Kylie.
The human aspect of it, I will say, if you're human... In any shape or form, you're an individual, and you have certain.
But what? But no, no.
What?
What makes you human?
It's biological. you have a biological. If you have any biological aspect to you, like if it's
so, someone grown in a petri dish is human.
Because just because you're born outside of the womb, to me that doesn't take away. Your humanity. It doesn't take away.
So that
well, depends on.
So the major is human.
Yeah,
because she has her human brain.
I would say yeah. I would
see. This is a question with no. There,
see?
Child, there is no easy answer to this.
No.
That's
there,
why
there
it's
is
being
no
debated.
Easy answer to
because
this.
You have the human, you have the part human, you have the clone, you have the completely AI. You have there's a range.
This is the ethics aspect of it that philosophers are probably arguing right now. That
they've been arguing since
yeah.
They are.
They are.
And they are right now.
And people will say, oh, You don't have to worry about that. Yes, you do. Because
yeah, because
you know
we're
what?
Close.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago,
closer.
We didn't have to worry about driverless cars.
Right.
That was 5 years ago. And 5 years from now, we're going to have robots that are...
Which, by the way, can
drivers,
I bring...
Driverless cars... Who has to pay for the insurance if the car messes up?
You know what? We're already talking about that. I mean,
you actually, yeah, you work in insurance.
Why would that be my fault if the car was faulty?
Exactly. You know what? That's the conversation that we're having right now. As a matter of fact, there was an accident that involved a driverless car, but the human person was the one at fault. So. You know, so
that
so
was easy.
That was easy.
Well, even taking full driverless cars off the thing. Look at watching commercials this weekend, watching ball game and stuff. You look at the features that are on regular cars now:
mm-hmm.
automatic emergency braking,
the braking.
Yes. Lane departure warning,
yep.
where if you start to wander, the car wanders back on its
yes.
own. Things like that. That the car is driving itself.
What
just doesn't
if the
tell
car
you.
Does it wrong?
Parallel parking.
And,
you know,
oh, that's been doing that for years.
Yep.
Automatic parallel parking.
There's is a Mercedes.
Car?
Or Audi has a feature that is able to tell based on your driving if you're drowsy. And if so, a little coffee cup pops up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
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 It pays attention to your driving that much that it can tell based
well,
on
your... Well, yeah, it remembers your
runner.
Driving skills.
Yes.
I don't know if I want my car telling me what's going on.
Yeah.
I know. But can we just bring this up? Why were there no driverless cars in Ghost in the Shell? Everyone got in the damn car to drive themselves. If this is future Hong Kong, I want the cars that were driving themselves.
No. She was Johnny Cab.
And the best part, they all look like they were out of the 80s.
Wait.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
They were, someone brought that up. They were like, why are you driving the car? Why don't you just let the thing drive itself? It was like... Because he wants to drive his damn car. It's his car.
And, you know, all the other people that you saw driving cars, like, in the background, the extras, you don't know if those were cyber people or not.
Yeah.
That's true. You could have your own cyber
drivers.
Chauffeur.
That was what was cool is on this, talking about the cybernetics and stuff, probably a good 75% of everybody in this world had some sort of cybernetic enhancement.
Yeah. Yes.
Whether it was mental or they actually made fun of that in the team when the one guy had a cybernetic liver put in so he could drink more.
So, yeah.
He had been saving up so he could get a new liver.
It's
so
always
could,
last call.
So he could drink anytime he wanted.
But then the other guy on the team who was completely human,
exactly.
with no mods, he was kind of the odd man out. And they
well,
they,
that character
you know?
Was perfect because he was in the original movie. And it was for that.
Yeah,
and he was actually added to the team because their team is part of the national...
Section 9.
But it's like the government National Security Bureau or something that they work for.
Yeah.
And there's Section 9. There's a bunch of different, just like there's CIA, FBI, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Section 9 took care of, I believe it was cyber crimes. They don't talk about that in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but if you look it up on Wiki for their cyber crimes.
Well, it's all they
division.
Deal with, so you kind of get that.
Yeah.
But, and in the TV show, the original anime, they actually made a point of the reason he's on the team is because he's an ex-cop and he doesn't have any cybernetics.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they chose him, because he was a good cop without all the cybernetics.
Yeah. A little bit of everything on their team.
Right.
Right.
You had something, Cam?
He was then replaced in the anime with the exact same character. It's like, at least this one looks better.
Yeah. So, out of their unit, I believe in the original movie, there was only three people in their unit. It was Batu, Major, and him. And that was it.
Right.
So the other people that were added to their unit in this weren't in
there.
They're
from the anime, which is, I was like, wait.
Yeah.
I thought this was a reboot of... Okay, so you're dipping from everything. Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Yeah.
But some parts of this were exactly the same as the anime.
Shot for shot.
The scene where she falls off the building and then shoots out the
mm-hmm.
aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was happening in the room was different in this. But the whole shooting the aquarium from the outside, that was in the original
anime.
Well,
quite honestly... It's almost like watching this, I could tell when they were paying homage to the original because they were longer shots. They stayed on them for longer, and I'm like, that's from the anime.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there that's fan service.
But one of the cool
right
things
there.
They did that they brought into this they had in the original one was people with cybernetic hands a lot of times, when they go to type, their fingertips kick off and they have like five fingertips on each of the fingertips, so they had like turbo.
Oh, the
typing.
One in the car that you see that happening.
That
was
one little
awesome.
Thing
that was
like,
cool.
Yay.
But I know the whole fight in the water.
Yeah.
That was straight out of the anime.
Yeah, it was. That was awesome.
That was a good fight though too. That
yeah.
did live action. That was
yes.
pretty cool.
They did really well.
I was watching CinemaSins before I watched the movie. He made a very good point. If she can go invisible, why isn't she invisible like half the time? Just do all your jobs invisible. Don't let anyone see you.
Because she'd have to take off all her clothes.
Maybe she only does that as necessary.
It could take too much power.
Yeah,
too.
See, it could be a power surge too. I mean, because it's a function.
And what I did like in this, they showed that she had, that not just sleeping, that she had to sleep, but she also had a recharge and refurbished port she had to plug in. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool that she kind of needed both. It's like she had to recharge the brain and then recharge the body also.
Mm-hmm.
Separately.
Okay, quick question. In her room, in the one up when she's like laying there and gets up, and it looks like a little like other little room, and you see the cat running around and it disappears. Was that a memory? Was that a glitch?
Yes.
That was a glitch.
Because later on they show the actual
the cat.
Right. But then I'm like, okay, did she have a cat, but it was like digital?
No. That was a
glitch in her memory. Yeah.
Well, and even Batu even said, I always pictured you more of a cat person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the other one that was really cool that was straight out of the anime was that spider tank at the end.
Yeah.
That thing was awesome.
I loved it.
See, they had a reason for a big metal spider.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And Warner Brothers didn't even do this.
Yes. But
it was a good spider tank, too. It wasn't like gangly.
It looked pretty cool.
It looked heavy. Yeah. It looked really armored.
It was actually a tank.
It was, I guess, outside of the movie with Idris Elba with the big robot.
Pacific Rim.
Dude, you got Mecha. You actually had Mecha that actually looked good.
Yeah.
You know.
That looked like it existed in that world.
Yeah.
Right.
This whole movie was. They've gotten so much better with CG and stuff that this whole movie, it was almost a seamless blend between reality and CG.
Yeah. Yeah. Things meshed together.
We actually
saw it
in 3D, and the 3D on this was amazing.
Was it?
Yeah, because a lot of the holograms actually float a little bit.
Oh right.
And things like that. This is the type of movie that is made for 3D.
Yeah. Where it's not like in your face. I'm going to look like I'm throwing a punch.
It's not 3D tricks on this one. It was just adding depth.
Yeah,
to
actually,
the
because the movie itself, it didn't look like there were those added 3D elements just for that sake.
See that when they just do that.
Like fire a gun straight at the screen.
Well, a lot of the family movies and stuff like that do that because it gets the kids.
Yeah,
really
that's
good.
Yeah.
And if they're having fun with it, I don't mind that once in a while.
Right. Speaking of family movies, okay, I went to the 10:20 showing of Ghost in the Shell.
There were so many damn kids here.
There was damn kids there. But and not just that though, there was a man who brought his four children with him, one of which looked younger than my 9-year-old niece and nephew. And he was running down to go to the bathroom and ran back up, and they left about 2/3 of the way through the movie. I'm like, that's a lot of money to spend on kids who aren't going to understand, who aren't going to pay attention, and leave before the end of the movie?
Yeah, he's coming back.
Damn it.
He went out and did a pickup. He's coming back now.
It wasn't me.
But,
Well, actually, can I, one more thing about the... This was a PG-13 movie.
Yes.
Did you guys get the R-rated trailer before it?
Yes. Which one?
It was for this ScarJo movie.
Yes.
It looks like
a Red Band?
It was red. It said this is restricted trailer.
Wow, we didn't get that one.
And I think it was only because it was Scarlett Johansson in it, and it's some stupid like remake of a bachelor party movie like there was a movie years ago where it was a bachelor party and the stripper got killed. It's basically but with women.
But I know what you're talking about.
So like, even though the movie was PG-13, it wasn't for kids.
No. It still wasn't for kids, for sure.
Well, what
I don't understand
is,
why parents bring kids to these kind of movies.
Well, I think a lot of Americans, I mean, I'm an American too, so, but a lot of Americans still look at, even when the anime came out in the 90s, or it came across, huge. When anime came across, huge.
It was
a lot of parents.
If it's a cartoon, it's for kids.
Exactly, so parents were getting their kids were like, hey, this was awesome.
I have a story.
Yeah.
My dad, back in the day, VHS, rented Spawn. The animated Spawn. Brought it home, and we had it on. I believe it may have been during a Christmas party or something. And my dad...
For the kids, right?
It was in the back. We had a back family room, and so he would turn on whatever for kids while, you know, the adults are doing their thing in the front room.
It was a cartoon.
And exactly. It was a cartoon. I sat and watched some of that, and I was like, what the hell is going on? We should not be watching this. But my dad had turned it on. I wasn't saying anything.
Well, still, like, a lot of times people think anime is either just for kids, or it's the hentai.
It's hentai.
Yes.
Well, and they didn't know about the hentai back then because they were showing the kids. And
yeah.
The kids.
Well, exactly. It's like, it's
that's
a cartoon.
My point is that it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, anime can actually be like watching back in the day ER.
Mm-hmm.
Only in drawn format.
Mm-hmm. Watching Your Name yesterday, I was like,
that's not for
kids. This is not for kids.
No.
But Jesus Christ. Everyone, come watch this movie. It's a good story.
Yeah.
Well, that's like one of the first animes I remember coming over that made a big splash here when it came here. It was late 80s was Akira.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Akira.
That is not a children's
movie. No. That is not a kid's movie.
It,
no.
I mean, it's blood everywhere. It's,
Vampire Hunter D is not.
Yeah.
Vampire
but
you
got people running around naked in this. I'm like, wait a minute. This is cartoons running around naked. What's going on?
Right.
That's it's very anime, but it's not for kids.
No.
No.
There is a difference.
It's adult.
It took a while for... Well, North Americans in general, or just Western culture in general, to realize that Japanese animation was treated the same as other movie making and other storytelling.
Yes.
It
yes.
was not just a kid's format.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now people actually know this. Like,
right.
you know, for
well,
the past
yeah.
few years,
well,
they
don't
know this.
Should have had a clue, because back in the 80s, we had American Pop.
Yeah.
We had, what was
Yeah, but
one?
They weren't mainstream. They weren't all that popular. In terms of everyone finding out about them.
Well,
yeah.
I know American Pop was a major movie release, as was Heavy Metal. Both were major movie releases.
But they weren't mainstream.
But they also put an R rating on those.
Yeah,
they did.
So that the families realize, oh, this is not for the kids. The thing is, with PG-13, all your superhero movies are PG-13.
Right.
Right. Star Wars movies
That's
now
true.
Are PG-13.
That's true.
So these are almost family movies.
But
There's
you're
stuff
also
the kids
looking
can watch.
At audiences that don't pay much attention to the ratings anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
It's either a cartoon or it's for everyone. As far
right.
as they're,
yeah.
you know, it's like they don't really pay attention to the PG-13
like,
versus R.
It's like people
right,
bringing
kind of
their kids to like the Saw movies and stuff like
right.
that.
Well,
like,
no, the Deadpool.
What are you doing? Yeah, Deadpool.
Yeah,
all the
taking
kids
to Deadpool.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
it's a superhero movie, but it's R.
But they pay attention.
Weird if it is. PG-13 doesn't necessarily mean for negate the fact that it's an adult-themed movie. It just
right.
means there's no nudity
no.
or harsh language.
You know,
right.
That doesn't
no,
mean
or
it's not
it,
an adult-themed
Or it's in there,
movie.
But it's
right.
very, very little.
Back
yeah.
in the 80s, my first PG-13 movie I saw had full frontal nudity in it.
Doc Hollywood?
Woman in Red.
Okay. I say Doc Hollywood had it, too.
What?
My first PG-13 movie was Gremlins.
Oh, nice. Oh. That was for the violence.
And that was violence.
Yep.
And I'm just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing, like, it was almost like, back then, like, if you got PG-13, you're guaranteed violence or nudity, or somebody's going to drop the F-bomb somewhere in there.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas now, they'll slap PG-13 on there just
anime.
Cause, and,
yeah.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Doc Hollywood. When I was growing up, my mom actually rented that because, oh, PG-13, that means anybody over 13 can watch it. She watched it. She called the video store. Said,
oh,
no, do you know that there's naked people in this PG-13 movie? It's just one scene, and you can barely make out what it is, but the girl's coming out of the water topless.
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My mom made me turn around with the whole taking the heart out of the chest thing because she thought
yes.
it was too violent for me. Little did she know.
No, what, you had something about the anime, babe?
When I was in college, it was the late 90s, and that's, you know, we can start going to the movie stores and rent the
yeah.
anime.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in college, my one friend, like all my friends, a lot of them were really big into the anime, and he showed us the one, and it was edited. Didn't think anything of it. Go off to my extern and found the same one, because it was one of those where you see, like, you know, it's multiple CDs, but you only saw, like, the first movie, and there was like alters. So I rented it. It was unedited. Needless to say, myself and the other guy were evil because our roommate was sleeping and we left it on. So when everybody else came in, he's passed out and the anime is playing.
Yeah,
one of the animes I rented in VHS form was Wicked City.
This was Crying.
Oh,
this is Crying Friedman.
And Crying Friedman. Yeah, that's another one.
That's
I rented
the
that
one.
Too. And they didn't. And you know, back then they didn't have the rating system like they do now
yeah.
for animes. And it wasn't like in the back room.
Right. No, it was just
where
with everything
be.
Else.
You just popped it in. You watched it. You're like, hey, I'm watching some anime. Oh.
Yeah. Wicked City was. Yeah.
Wicked City's worse.
Now, Crying Freeman wasn't that bad, though.
It's a lot of people running around naked.
But when you're 18,
a lot of people running around naked.
Yeah.
But when you're 18, 19 year old in college, and
you're not expecting this,
your male roommate is passed out in the lounge, and you leave it.
Yeah,
playing.
Everybody walks in, and he's passed out watching this.
Because the lounge was like at the front door, so when you went in the front door, that was where the lounge was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were evil.
It'd be like you walking in on your roommate, and he happens to be watching Playboy Channel or something like, and
yeah.
he's passed out.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I wonder what he was doing.
He was out before it even turned on, so we had no idea.
It was like when I saw The Professional, which was the Go-Go 13 one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this, and I'm expecting, like, just straight action, because I had gotten one of the mangas. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. And there's this one scene. I'm sitting there like, because I was thinking I didn't think I have to worry about my mom or anything. But
yeah, see, it's your own fault. As soon as you think, I don't have to worry.
This is why when my anime group meets, I'm like, no children. Please, no children. Because even when it's, you know, mostly innocent anime that we're watching, there's always
you never know what they're going to put in there.
There's always some schoolgirl who's riding a bike, and you just see lots of panty shots. And I'm like, I am not watching an anime with kids. Right. Panty shots in it.
That's guaranteed. I don't know why, but I'm like, okay.
It's just a thing, I guess. I don't know.
So if you've never watched anime before, this is what you have to look forward to.
Yes.
even the innocent things.
Looking back to Ghost in the Shell, I actually have a list of all of what media we fit, because Ghost in the Shell's been around since the mid or actually late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had multiple iterations.
Mm-hmm.
They've had three different books put out. Yeah, Ghost in the Shell, Ghost in the Shell 2, Man Machine Interface, and then what?
When I was a child, oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Cam, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
still watching Ghost in the Shell back then.
That's because it had already been out for years.
It was Ghost in the Shell.
That's
cool.
It.
Yeah. What's the second season? Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex. Cool. Second part of the second season. Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, second gig. Why does the second part of the second season need a second title? Why can't it just be the two things?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing that now. They have three titles for the series for one episode or for one season.
Well, yeah, but it's still Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Stupid. Yeah.
It still advertises Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You know what? I missed one episode, the last episode of the before the break.
And oh, so I screw you up completely.
I know. I started watching. I'm like, God damn
it's
it.
A completely now, different world.
Pause. Now I got to go rent that one episode.
Well, like I said, there were three books.
Yeah.
The movie that this is loosely based on, I mean, this is a straight homage to that movie. They basically filled what little holes there were making the changes. That was released in 95, but we also got a Ghost in the Shell 2, I believe it was the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there was Ghost in the Shell, the Standalone Complex, Solid State Society, which is based on, I believe, the anime series.
Mm-hmm.
Then you even had the new movie that just came out. But there was three different anime series that have nothing to do with the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were a total reboot and into a new...
Well, see, all the original works, they actually put some of everything into the movie, they said, because they were filling in the holes from the movie with the other stuff, with the books and all that kind of stuff. So it's all in there in some way.
And it's kind of a reboot, but at the same time, it was just them trying to explain what they wanted to get across.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like I said, I thought the changes they made were they were great and they fit right in with this. Even the actual full plot change of working, her finding out that there was other cyber beings before her, and the part with the memory and all that was, it made this movie flow a lot better than I thought this was better than the original.
I wasn't mad at any of the changes.
No.
No.
Like we said, this was probably one of the best anime to TV or to screen adaptations ever done.
Yeah. Yep.
The name change, it kept bothering me throughout the movie.
Which name change?
They kept calling him Mira. I was like, what?
Yeah. No.
And then at the end they explained, I was like, oh, okay, I'm not mad anymore.
So it was an anime movie, because most anime movies from the 90s, you were totally confused until you get to the very end, and then all of a sudden it makes sense.
I was like, why do they keep calling her Mira? It's not her name. It's like, wait, what is your name? Like, I'm in the back of the theater looking up, like, oh. Like, are they really going to do that? Like, halfway? No?
Nope.
Three fourths? No? At the very end? It's like, all right, that's.
It got there.
That's
it got
fine.
There.
Exactly.
And her mom not recognizing her made me a little mad, because it's like, same speech pattern.
Your first recognition is face.
The same face. It's like
she didn't have the same face.
She didn't have the same face.
No, she didn't have the same face.
She wasn't
she
Asian.
Didn't look anything like.
Yeah, not the
same. Sorry. Okay. Same hair, same speech pattern,
same bad haircut.
But it's like, but she's been visiting her daughter's grave. So, I mean, there's that disconnect. There's that you don't want to believe that your daughter is dead, but at the same time,
I mean,
time,
really, when
you're
when
visiting
she visited
the grave,
when
so.
She visited her mom that first time,
her
by
mom
the
knew something
by
was
the
there.
End of the visit, the mom knew.
She knew.
She knew
like,
something was
which
going
is, but,
on.
But I mean, you're not going to know right away when this person shows up.
Right.
Yeah,
no
Cameron.
One else visits her. She's
Cameron.
Oh,
Cameron.
How do you know?
The cat
she welcomed her in for tea.
The cat knew.
Yeah, the cat knew. It was like.
That,
yeah,
but that's
like,
one of the things
yeah.
that gave her a clue, though.
Yeah.
That's why she was
yeah, the cat
sitting
doesn't like
there
anybody.
With her.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I also think the only thing I didn't like was the like kind of forced romance at the end between the...
Yeah, that's...
Whatever his name was.
And Major's like, why don't do this?
I wouldn't say they were forced.
You know what? I think they were already together.
Yeah,
beforehand.
They were together
like,
before.
Yeah, they were when she was a runaway.
They were rekindling the romance.
They were already together.
There's no point.
It didn't like yeah, because they didn't
die. We
they
knew
didn't
he was
build on it
die.
At all. Like they could have brought something in earlier to build on it a little.
Although, but I think that was kind of the point that she was a different person, even though she had her memories or a good portion of the memories, and she remembered having loved him. She didn't have that feeling anymore.
Yeah.
So it was more of a, like, to me, when I was watching that scene, it was more like she was almost mourning the fact that she's not the same person, even though she has those memories now.
Right. Well, that, I think that also, the romance part of it was them helping flip the villain.
Yeah.
Because the whole movie, he's the villain.
Right.
In the end, he's the sympathetic
and
character
he
here, and the corporation that she's working with and has been working with all this time is the actual villain.
And you had to give that connection between them to why
there had to be a reason why we're going to actually feel sorry for this guy when we lose him.
Well, and he knew that they used to be a couple. And so it wasn't really a forced romance. It was just
really sad when he died.
Well, no, I don't think it was actually sad.
But that's what they had tried to do with it.
It didn't work.
I was
well,
maybe for other crowds
I
it did.
Like, I felt bad for her. Not that he was gone, but that she just lost that one last connection to who she was right before they stole her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they could have she could have found out so much more from him.
Her mom and her argued, and that's why she split from her and was living down in the Lawless area for
a year. She has a mom
year.
Now, she has a mom now, though. She still has that connection.
Much like Batman loves Superman, it's all about mom.
It's not.
Yeah.
At least her name wasn't Martha.
That's right. We don't know. They didn't give her a name.
That's true. But she's Japanese, so most likely.
Japanese version of Martha.
Maybe there's no Shrella's name.
Well, as we're getting ready to wrap this up, so final thoughts. Start with Kylan. What was your final thoughts on this? We've talked all kinds of stuff. We've been all over the place. You got anything else that you wanted to talk about on this?
I have nothing else to add to it. Like I said, it wasn't necessarily my first choice of a movie, but I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Okay. Miss Dawn?
I'm kind of in the same boat, I think. Quite honestly, I think if we hadn't actually planned to talk about it, we probably wouldn't have gone to see the movie.
Okay.
It would have been like a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
Would have watched it eventually, but would have been a Netflix thing. But it was okay. It wasn't a waste. It was actually...
You didn't feel
know,
like you wasted your money on this?
No.
Come on. We paid full price. We went at night. it was worth seeing. It was interesting enough.
Okay. Well, Jesse, what is your final thoughts on Ghost in the Shell before we wrap this up?
I think it helps that I watched Your Name, the anime movie, first, and then I went and saw, it didn't even have to be.
It put you in the mood.
It put me in the mood for watching an anime-esque type of movie, so I liked it.
Cool.
I
want
to talk about Your Name, so bad.
We have to start our podcast.
Yeah, well, you guys get your show
you
going, which
podcast.
Is working.
Want to talk about Your Name.
But what was your final thoughts on Ghost in the Shell?
There better not be a sequel. It is a good movie in its own isolated little form. Although, if they do make a sequel, I want to see the little small spider tanks. In the anime, because I was like, spider tank? Oh, it's the big ones. Like,
the main reason for a sequel is money, and it's not getting there.
Good.
So.
Yeah. It's so good. It's its own good little isolated
I think movie. I think by the time it's done with its run, it will make its budget.
Yeah.
But it's not going to make much more.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's not going to clear the marketing budget.
They may
like
end up doing a straight to Netflix or straight to something.
Yeah.
I could see
but
sequels.
It wouldn't even have ScarJo in it,
But I could see something like in that world, just not particularly that specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
Vicky, what was your final thoughts on Ghost in the Shell?
I mean, I loved it. I just think it's kind of sad that a really great movie got like trolled.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Anything that's you're going to really like it, someone's going to hate it.
But it got shot down ahead of time. So many people were, as soon as they started hearing the arguments that weren't.
It was 2 years ago when they were.
Yeah.
were
as soon as they started casting, people started talking about it.
Doing it without even knowing.
Yeah, without knowing the property and that it didn't matter. And that killed it from the beginning.
Yeah.
It really did.
For me, like I said, this was one of the greatest anime movies to live action I've ever seen. And the nice thing was the parts that you really love about, like, especially the 90s anime was its own style.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff you love from 90s anime was on the live action screen. Mm-hmm. It felt like a 90s anime movie without the couple of things that detract from it, like the long shots of nothing going on that you did see a lot in that time, and the plot holes that they left there on purpose. It just was their part of their style. They filled it in those couple of things, so it, to me, like I said, it was one of the greatest animes I've ever seen. It was just in live action form.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Do you want to break out the parameter for this one?
I don't know that we have to.
I don't think so. Yeah, everybody knows pretty much what we felt on this one. Mm-hmm. So,
break out the what?
Brownie meter.
The brownie meter.
Brownie meter.
Oh. Or something else.
I mean, I only want to break out the brownie meter if there's brownies.
I know. It's like, we need brownies.
There will
now.
Be. We got another 6 months to wait.
Oh, right.
So, well, before we wrap up the whole show, anything else from anybody before we wrap up the show they wanted to talk about or come?
I think we're good for now.
One thing.
What you
don't
got?
Judge something by
physical.
Yeah, what other people say and just like physicalities. Yeah. Actually. Go and just enjoy a great movie.
Yeah.
You never know how it's going to work until you see it.
Exactly.
Well, this one, the original creator of Ghost in the Shell, the writer for it, not even that made the movie, loved this movie.
Yeah.
All the entire team that made the original movie said this was fantastic.
That
this
tells you a lot. If you don't want to go see it on opening night or whatever, fine. Wait until some other things come out. If you're going to read about it, but don't let that affect your judgment or your desire to see it.
Yeah. This is, well, that's, when it comes to media, a lot of people are like, well, if I don't like it, I'm not, or if they don't like it, they're not going to tell us that. Well, that means they probably wouldn't have said anything at all.
Yeah. Right.
The fact that they actually went on the work record and said, hey, this is fantastic, this is perfect, means they actually did like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cam, what you got?
This whole thing like reminds me of when me and my cousin first saw the trailer for Chowder, a kid's cartoon. We were both like, this is stupid. When it first came out, we were like, you know what? It can't be that bad. Let's give it a try. And we both will tell you it's one of our favorite Cartoon Network shows before Cartoon Network went downhill.
No. Well,
well, that's another matter of opinion.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I think that wraps it up pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, in general, we're saying check out this movie, even if you have to wait till DVD or Blu-ray or something like that. And if nothing else, it is a beautiful cyberpunk movie.
Yeah, watch the original.
If you want to check out
time.
Yeah, well, Hulu has it for free. If you have Hulu, you can watch the original Ghost in the Shell and a lot of the TV series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're all on Hulu.
Yeah.
So check it out. Other than that, remember, you can always find us on the internet, anything you need for GeekWatch 1, all of our blogs, all the contact information, the affiliates page, everything else, all the sponsors are at geekwatch1.com. On all social media, we're at GeekWatch1. You can also get us at geekwatch1@gmail.com. We're part of the Tangent Bound and the Weeby Geeks networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. And for Kylan and for Dawn and for Vicky and for Cam and Jesse and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.